I feel that every audience is special, and the more attentive the silence, the more I appreciate it. Of course, it tells you something of how the audience is reacting to what you're doing. And I love it when we can create an atmosphere and the silence happens. I came to Bach late in my career, if you want to say it, partly because I couldn't find the right way to play Bach on the piano until with a lot of study. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s where people were saying, people like Arau, you know, and people like Curzon were saying that you can't play Bach on the piano. It stifled one. And I don't know, it was really a time when I couldn't play the piano because of an injury, which lasted actually for about two to three years. During that period of time when I couldn't play, I spent a lot of time thinking about how Bach should be played and how would I approach Bach and how would I understand Bach, because that's actually the crucial thing, how you understand it. If you can hear it in your mind and it makes sense, then you can play it. And so it took me a long time going through the scores, going through actually a lot of books on counterpoint and studying analyses and things like this, for about 2-3 years, that I found a way, I think, to play this music in a way that was, for me, convincing.
What were the difficulties that you encountered with the piano then?
One of the first is, what do you do dynamically? What do you do in terms of forte and piano and crescendo, diminuendo? You're told, of course, that the harpsichord, and I even got a harpsichord, I worked on a harpsichord. A harpsichord doesn't have these dynamics. These were later accretions. But they're also a natural way of speaking, in a way, on the piano. But I also find them very important for structural reasons, to highlight certain notes, to, when you have dissonances, to highlight the dissonance and then to show the consonance by playing it softer. And also whole sections can be dissonant. And so I find it very useful. So I had to try to find how would dynamics work so that they wouldn't be obtrusive or, let's say, romantic, and still convey the structure and the feeling that's necessary to that particular phrase.
Well, the last work, of course, that you've released is the Goldberg Variations, which we might call the Rolls-Royce of keyboard works. What were the particular difficulties with this?
Well, in that particular piece, it's a very long piece. I think it's 75 minutes. And the thing is, you have to hold it together. And how does one variation build up after another, and what does the whole feel like? I felt that it divided into groups of eight, and that I felt that the last eight variations reached a spiritual plane that was very different than the first lot. It's 32 movements, 30 variations, and when the theme comes back, it's very, very moving, but it has to be inevitable in a way. It has to be like you've experienced so much that that's all you need at the end of that. So that was the main difficulty in that piece. Beethoven is a very important composer for me in my work and my studies. All the great composers, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, there's many others, Schumann, Mendelssohn, Chopin, they play a very important role for me. In the particular case of Beethoven as a classical composer, trying at the same time to articulate little ideas, but at the same time trying to unify these in a big scope, is what fascinates me and continually amazes me, how he manages these huge structures, and they're all in the little elements as well, how he combines the little with the great. Thank you. really see myself as a conductor. I'm a pianist that enjoys occasionally working with chamber orchestras. I have an appointment now with the St. Martins in the Field, which is a wonderful chamber orchestra. And I want to work on Haydn symphonies. I adore Haydn and would love the chance to work on these symphonies and also more Mozart and C.P.E. Bach and study the beginnings of the symphony, study what the symphony was for the classicists.
A lot about the dialogue. You also have this same feeling for Mozart opera as well?
Yes, I adore the opera, and I feel that what he did with the piano concerto was to bring the opera to the piano concerto, so that the pieces like I'm working on the 4-5-3 again, that slow movement is really an aria for a singer, and I feel it's Cherubino. In fact, growing up and seeing that the desires in life have their pains as well as their joys. But anyway, he brought the world of the opera to the concerto and to the sonata.
Transcriptions of these great works. We could of course go back to Bach there, and we can also look at Mozart transcriptions. What sort of a role do they play in your life?
Well, when you talk about transcriptions, one immediately thinks of Liszt, and Liszt made some wonderful transcriptions of operas. I even think there's Don Juan of Mozart that he made. The thing is, I love to play them, but for myself. I don't often play Liszt in public. I did it a while ago. But no, I get great enjoyment playing it for myself. I make my own, in a way, transcriptions of symphonies that I'm playing, and I'm playing them at the piano. If I'm conducting them, I'm always playing them at the piano, always working myself. It sounds strange, but in music one sees a unity of intention and organicism. The way a thing is built, it's mind-boggling. And whether one has the possibility to perceive this is the question, I think. And I'm sure that that's the case in life, that there are miracles happening all the time around us. A human being is a miracle. A baby is a miracle. A mind is a miracle. And it's the ability to appreciate this that I think is more important than asking the question of whether God exists or not.
With those very strong beliefs, then, of course, working with an orchestra, you're going to be reliant on how they respond and probably their beliefs as well.
No, in the end, I show them what the miracle is. And whether they believe or not, that's not the case. But I try to show them the harmonic, the contrapuntal, the structural miracles that exists in front of them, if one can, without being too cliché-ish. I mean, they're facts. The last movement of the Jupiter Symphony is a miracle. The fugues is a miracle. So we just show them that, and it's enough to inspire somebody. I feel that every audience is special, and the more attentive the silence, the more I appreciate it. Of course, it tells you something of how the audience is reacting to what you're doing. And I love it when we can create an atmosphere and the silence happens. I came to Bach late in my career, if you want to say it, partly because I couldn't find the right way to play Bach on the piano until with a lot of study. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s when people were saying, people like Arau, you know, and people like Curzon were saying that you can't play Bach on the piano. It stifled one. And I don't know, it was really a time when I couldn't play the piano because of an injury, which lasted actually for about two, three years. During that period of time when I couldn't play, I spent a lot of time thinking about how Bach should be played and how would I approach Bach and how would I understand Bach, because that's actually the crucial thing, how you understand it. If you can hear it in your mind and it makes sense, then you can play it. And so it took me a long time going through the scores, going through actually a lot of books on counterpoint and studying analyses and things like this, for about 2-3 years that I found a way, I think, to play this music in a way that was, for me, convincing.
Well, the last work, of course, that you've released is the Goldberg Variations, which we might call the Rolls-Royce of keyboard works. What were the particular difficulties with this?
Well, in that particular piece, it's a very long piece. I think it's 75 minutes. And the thing is, you have to hold it together. And how does one variation build up after another, and what does the whole feel like? I felt that it divided into groups of eight, and that I felt that the last eight variations reached a spiritual plane that was very different than the first lot. It's 32 movements, 30 variations, and when the theme comes back, it's very, very moving, but it has to be inevitable in a way. It has to be like you've experienced so much that that's all you need at the end of that. So that was the main difficulty in that piece. Beethoven is a very important composer for me in my work and my studies. All the great composers, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, there's many others, Schumann, Mendelssohn, Chopin, they play a very important role for me. In the particular case of Beethoven as a classical composer, trying at the same time to articulate little ideas, but at the same time trying to unify these in a big scope is what fascinates me and continually amazes me, how he manages these huge structures, and they're all in the little elements as well, how he combines the little with the great. Really see myself as a conductor. I'm a pianist that enjoys occasionally working with chamber orchestras. I have an appointment now with the St. Martin's in the Field, which is a wonderful chamber orchestra, and I want to work on Haydn symphonies. I adore Haydn and would love the chance to work on these symphonies and also more Mozart and C.P. Bach and study the beginnings of the symphony, study what the symphony was for the classicists. Thank you.
talk a lot about the dialogue. Do you also have this same feeling for Mozart opera as well?
Yes, I adore the opera, and I feel that what he did with the piano concerto was to bring the opera to the piano concerto, so that pieces like I'm working on the 4-5-3 again, that slow movement is really an aria for a singer, and I feel it's Cherubino. In fact, growing up and seeing that the desires in life have their pains as well as their joys. But anyway, he brought the world of the opera to the concerto and to the sonata. It sounds strange, but in music one sees a unity of intention and organicism. The way a thing is built, it's mind-boggling. And whether one has the possibility to perceive this is the question, I think. And I'm sure that that's the case in life, that there are miracles happening all the time around us. A human being is a miracle. A baby is a miracle. A mind is a miracle. And it's the ability to appreciate this that I think is more important than asking the question of whether God exists or not.
With those very strong beliefs, then, of course, working with an orchestra, you're going to be reliant on how they respond and probably their beliefs as well.
No, in the end, I show them what the miracle is. And whether they believe or not, that's not the case. But I try to show them the harmonic, the contrapuntal, the structural miracles that exists in front of them, if one can, without being too cliché-ish. I mean, they're facts. The last movement of the Jupiter Symphony is a miracle. The fugues is a miracle. So we just show them that, and it's enough to inspire somebody.